ECCW.
Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. Now on Turnbuckle Time. Keeping you up to date on all the turns, pushes, and storylines.
Hey now, it's Turnbuckle Time, almost a week after the 11th Pac Cup. Do we have a new champion? Do we have a repeat champion? Tony Barone and Jason Sullivan, they were fighting for the tag team straps. Lots of action went down last Saturday at the RCC. Joining me, my fellow graduate as of yesterday, Shane Loughran. How's the graduated life feeling, Shane?
It feels pretty much exactly the same as I did before I walked up on the stage yesterday, you know? I don't feel much different, but it was nice walking up and sharing the stage with you, Corey. It was a pleasure.
It felt epic when we walked into the Macho Man's music, the graduation music.
Yes, the pomp and circumstance. I think we played out to that on Turnbuckle Time a couple weeks ago. And I didn't get to see you walk up on stage because I was still in the hallway, but I heard you did a little tribute to Hulk Hogan when you went up there. Is this the fact?
Yeah, that's the cold facts. No, I did the whole wave to the ear thing. I was trying to get the crowd pumped up. Needless to say, my parents were going bananas. I didn't need to get them pumped up, but you know what? We're in broadcast, man. We're not financial management kids. We're not nursing students. So we get excited, and last night was a cause for excitement, and I'm happy to be graduated, happy to kind of put it behind me, but proud of myself, and I'm proud of you, Shane.
Oh, thanks. Well, I felt like I kind of let you down a little bit because you did the Hulk Hogan thing, and what I should have done was the old Macho Man tribute, you know, the finger to the sky and the little spin in place. I think that would have been a fitting tribute to Macho. But, you know, my parents are there, and I don't want to look like an asshole, so I did the polite smile and shake the dean's hand and walk off. But I let you down, and I'm sorry.
That's okay. Maybe next time when we graduate.
Yeah, next post-secondary school we go to.
Anyways, let's get into the Pac Cup. Now, we did a very brief preview of it, Shane. We kind of just threw around some scenarios and some predictions and stuff like that. But really, everything was up for grabs here in the Pac Cup this year in 2011. And the first round of matches were really a lot of main event caliber matches. And we started out with Scotty Mack, the 2003 winner of the Pacific Cup. And he was taking on current Ring of Honor superstar Kyle O'Reilly returning. He, of course, won it in 2007, and this one really could have gone either way. Good energy from the crowd, firmly behind Kyle, and that's what I really like about the fans' treatment towards Kyle O'Reilly. None of this jealousy crap, like you sold out because he's making it big in Ring of Honor. It's just they like to have Kyle O'Reilly back. They know what kind of performer he is, and they really had a world-class match, did Scotty Mack and Kyle O'Reilly. It went back and forth both ways, and Kyle ends up getting the win after reversing one of Scotty's bridge pins. And these guys, they both know wrestling. If any two guys in the ECCW know wrestling, it's these two guys, and it really showed, and it was a fantastic opener with great energy and really worthy of a main event slot.
So this is I haven't seen the Pac Cup yet. You've watched it. I'm just learning all this firsthand from you. I want to know, what was Scotty Mack's reaction after this match? Was he the jealous, you know, pretty boy, you know, run out of there, stomp out of there in a pissy mood? Or did he show Kyle O'Reilly the respect, shake his hand, and kind of like, thanks for coming back to ECCW?
Well, I'm sure the respect was there, but Scotty didn't show it. The administration has him brainwashed. All that power has gone to Scotty Mack's head. Great performer. In both roles, a good guy or a bad guy, Scotty Mack, but Kyle O'Reilly firmly had the crowd behind him. It was a fantastic match, great technical match. These guys both tell a great story, and they did that in the opening match, and really, no better way to kick off the card, even though, like I said, this could easily be a main event match.
Yeah, and I'm glad they brought Kyle O'Reilly back for the Pacific Cup, because not only do you get one match out of Kyle O'Reilly, you could possibly get two, three, four matches out of this guy who's tearing it up in Ring of Honor. So I think it's the perfect card to feature him on. And I pretty much knew that Kyle O'Reilly was going to win this one. You know, bringing him in from Ring of Honor, it almost doesn't seem worth it to have him knocked out in the first round. So it's cool to see O'Reilly win. And instead of one match, we get to see two, possibly three matches from O'Reilly.
The next match, this one was a long time coming for one of the competitors. It's Nick Price, and he's taking on the 2010, that's last year's winner, Artemis Spencer. Now, Nick Price is coming off a shoulder injury, and me and you haven't really seen him wrestle in a long time, but we caught up with him. I think it was at TLC or something like that, when Evolution 107.9 was on the floor there, and Nick said, you know, I'm injured, but I'm really looking forward to this match with Artemis Spencer. Of course, this was after he had qualified by beating former partner Jamie Diaz in a qualifying match, and he said, you know what, I've been looking forward to facing Artie for over a year. So right away, you could see Price was out to impress in this one.
Yeah, and it seemed like when we did talk to Price, too, that he might have been going against some sort of doctor's orders or maybe even some family advice saying maybe, you know, you should sit this one out, take some time off. But again, yeah, he really wanted to go against Artemis Spencer. This is a guy who makes most guys in ECCW, whoever he faces, look like superstars. So there's no way he was going to pass up this one. And I was actually really looking forward to seeing this one.
So was I, Shane. So was I. But I hate to say it. A little bit of rust shown from Price. Some of the running continuity of the match and the flow was very choppy and unsmooth. And I definitely am not gonna heap that on Artie. I'm not trying to bury Price here, but there's some spots in the match that really look like, you know, he was definitely showing some ring rust.
Yeah, but he's showing some ring rust. But again, he's fighting injured. He hadn't been wrestling in the ring for weeks, maybe months. So that's expected. I think you got to give him props. Just going out there and fighting on the biggest card of the year and, you know, just giving it his all.
One thing I will say about Nick Price, though, he's not the best ring technician by a long shot in the ECCW. He can pull off some high spots, he has some decent kicks, but his real strength is kind of in his charisma and working the crowd and just being able to draw heat, even though he hasn't really had any meaningful matches or angles for a long, long time. This guy, I don't know if it's his sideburns or if it's his awful attire or what it is, but Price can draw heat.
But you can definitely draw heat. Going back to those Egos and Icons days, him and Awesome Sauce and Diaz, you know, they were the most hated guys in Bridgeview Hall there for months. And I think he can continue, like, being that top heel. And like you said, maybe not the strongest technician. But I think, you know, he gets some time to recover, heals from this injury, gets back in the gym, gets a few good matches under his belt. I think he can definitely step his game up.
The end of this match, Artie winning with a fantastic Phoenix Splash, picture perfect, and for me, Artie saved this match from being kind of very forgettable. And Artemis Spencer, two matches away from being the first two-time pack-up champion, back-to-back years no less. So Artie was that close. And
so after these first two matches, any surprises for you? Or these the two winners going in? Did you think these two guys would be the winners of those matches?
Well, I thought O'Reilly and Scotty Mac was a toss-up. While you make a very good point with O'Reilly that I don't think they'd bring in a Ring of Honor guy, just a former ECCW alumni, just to bury him in the first round. But I saw Artie winning this one. I know I was on the Twitter machine saying that Price was going to take the whole thing, and I was throwing out the Price is Right as like a rally slogan for Nick Price. But I was kind of humoring the fans there, or any listeners of Turnbuckle Time. I think everyone kind of had their mind wrapped around Artemis Spencer winning this one. So far, no huge surprises, but it's the Pat Cup. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I had no formal predictions, but right now I think I'm 2-for-2, and I think I'll probably go 4-for-4 in the first round. So let's keep going.
Nicole Matthews versus the 2008 winner, Brilliant Billy Suede. Now this one, I said there were no surprises before. Here's the surprise. Brilliant Billy Suede cuts a promo. This guy's supposed to be like the silent warrior. He doesn't cut promos. And he did. And it was pretty bad.
Well, I remember last year we went to the Pack Up. It was one of our first events we attended at ECCW. And Billy Suede was in the tournament. And when he came out, that place exploded. He was the number one guy in the RCC that night. I don't know if his family was there, if his friends were there. But he seemed to have that RCC in the palm of his hands. And I would think coming back for 2011, you know, he wouldn't have to cut a promo. He could come out, the fans would love him, and he could just go in the ring and do his thing. But sounds like he got a sidetrack somewhere.
That's what I was trying to get at, is that this is a guy that he's over at the RCC. He doesn't need to cut promos. And I found it kind of weird seeing Billy Suede pick up the mic and trying to cut a hard-edged promo. It just seemed weird to me. He's kind of just...
And what real beef does he have with Nicole Matthews building up to this match? I can't recall them having any sort of beef, so why, you know, start something right before the match?
Well, his promo is pretty much based around this. Nicole Matthews, we've been friends before because they were friends when the two of them plus Kenny Lush took on Egos and Icons in that intergender TLC match for the tag straps. So they do have some history. But Suede pretty much says, Nicole, you know you're my friend and everything, but I'm willing to steamroll you to get to that Pat Cup championship. Nicole Matthews replies, before Nicole Matthews replies, Billy Suede just pretty much gives her an opportunity to leave the ring. He says, I'm going to turn my back, count to 10 if you're... I hope you walk out of this ring so the referee can raise my hand. And for me, like, Billy, that seems like a cowardly heel act. That doesn't seem like something Billy Suede would do. I found it very weird. And the crowd immediately jumping on the side of Nicole Matthews, and Billy Suede is automatically the heel all of a sudden in an arena where normally he's the boss.
Well, that's the ultimate heel move, is turning your back on the opponent and just being so full of yourself that, you know, I don't even need to try. I can fight this guy, you know, with two hands behind my back facing the other way. So I can definitely see maybe a heel turn in the works for Billy Suede and maybe Nicole Matthews, maybe turning face. Maybe we're seeing a Bret Hart Stone Cold 13 matchup here. In this match, you know what, I was picking brilliant Billy Suede to win this one. But I think if there was going to be an upset in the first round, I think this could have been the match. Nicole Matthews, I think she solidified her spot in the Pac Cup. I think it seems like it was months and months ago. It seems like this match has been being hyped for a long time. So I thought maybe with all that build up, all that hype, that they might push Nicole Matthews into the second round. But I don't think that's how it turned out.
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing. They wouldn't have Nicole Matthews in this tournament if they weren't expecting her to make some sort of push. I expected her to get out of the first round, too. Albeit, though, it would be called a shocker. You're definitely right.
I didn't expect her to get out of the first round. I thought maybe we could see an upset here. My pick was brilliant Billy Suede.
Well, I just didn't see why they would put her in the tournament just to have her bounce out in the first round, not taking anything away from Nicole. It was kind of a slow start. The usual leg hold, lockup shenanigans that you don't even really pay attention to in wrestling anymore. It's just the formalities of the beginning of a match. And another heel tactic by Billy Suede, pulling Nicole around by her hair. You don't do that if you're a face. It just seemed weird to me.
And where was Kenny Lush when all this was going down? You know, we've seen Lush and Billy Suede. They've been tight like buttholes, like I like to say, for the last couple months. You know, those guys have been tight. And they come out to that Guns N' Roses. They pump the crowd up. Where was Kenny Lush when all this was going down?
Kenny Lush was in action later on that night against Bishop, so probably getting prepared for his match. Maybe his head's not in the pack up. He's a heavyweight. He's probably got Billy Suede's back, but at the same time, he probably doesn't need to have her back against... At the same time, probably doesn't need to have his back against Nicole Matthews. But this one, while it did kind of start as Billy Suede just being the heel, which I found weird, it turned into a comedy match really quick. This match had a lot of moods to it. It turned into a comedy match that almost saw them looking like an angry marital couple screaming at each other. It was so weird. At one point, Billy screaming, "Bitch, where's my money?" at Nicole. It was bizarre.
And what? He bitch, where's my money? And Ray Brooks, you got to step in, Ray Brooks, and you know you got to step up for your woman.
Nowhere to be seen is Ray Brooks. Nowhere to be seen. I hear he likes 50-50 girls.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I get it.
There you go. I thought at that point, once they started busting out the comedy and screaming and swearing at each other, I was like, okay, well, like I was almost disappointed because we know what these two guys can do.
Yeah, well, if they're going to bring out Billy Suede and they're going to have these screaming matches and he's going to throw insults her way, why not have Ray Brooks in there and have him involved and maybe, you know, further that Nicole Matthews-Ray Brooks storyline at the same time, because those two really haven't been doing much. They've just kind of been sitting in limbo. What's going on with them? Or are they a thing? Is she the dominant one? Is he the dominant one? Maybe have him come in, try to, you know, fight for her honor and stand up for her, and then get slapped down, or, you know, incorporate him some way instead of just having Billy Suede rip on her for no reason.
That would have been a great opportunity, and it would have done something more with this match. Like I said, once they finished the comedy, they actually did get into some wrestling, but it didn't last for long enough. The match lasted 5 minutes. Three of those minutes were comedy wrestling and slapping and kicking and hair pulling. Eventually, Billy Suede does get the victory with the... slice of bread number 68 or whatever his move is called, and Nicole Matthews, she did roll the dice on his ass, but he kicked out, and he does get the victory. But for me, if you let this match go on 5 more minutes, get some good solid wrestling, because you know these guys can do it. They had great chemistry when they were actually wrestling in this match, but for me it was too much comedy and bad promos, and they should have just focused on some bare bones wrestling, because it could have been great. It could have been fantastic.
Yeah, well, for a 5-minute match, I think we did an 8-minute review, so we should probably move on to the next one.
Azul Angel and El Fantasmo, some more comedy wrestling. I mean, these guys are naturally pretty funny guys. They actually wrestled part of the match in slow motion. I'm not kidding. And the fans actually followed suit and were cheering in slow motion.
What kind of moves are they pulling off in slow motion here? Are these slow motion grapples, slow motion suplexes, DDTs? What kind of, paint a picture for me, Corey.
We're talking slow motion knife edge chops, slow motion eye gouges, slow motion back.
So when you do the slow motion knife edge chop, is it a slow motion ooh from the crowd?
Yes,
is everybody
yes.
slow? Does
yeah.
the crowd
and,
slow down too?
And on,
it just seems like a, it just seems natural.
And then on the video you can see people slowly rising to their feet and cheering. It was funny, man. It was funny for a bit. I thought it was pretty original. And then eventually, El Fantasmo breaks the streak of slow motion by poking Azul Angel in the wiener. It was pretty funny.
In his what?
In his wiener.
His
chorizo, his salchichon.
So he punches them in the wiener and they're off.
Yeah, they're off. And lots of good high-flying moves. Couple false finishes. I can't complain. A solid, solid match. I thought this picked up what Billy Suede and Nicole Matthews lacked. They had a bit of comedy, but just as much, if not more, good, solid wrestling. El Fantasmo reversing a pinfall after a splash by Azul Angel rolls him up and gets the victory. LP advances. He's the 2009 winner. And easy statistic to figure out, every former Pat Cup champion advanced out of their round. So we were going to see a double champion. Or were we?
It looks that way. What do you mean, or were we? There's four Pat Cup champions. That's the way it's going to work out. There's going to be a repeat. And I want to go back to this match real quick. Azul Angel, I've been trying to put him over for the last few turnbuckle times. Him and Aaron Bolo for International Bloodlines. I know for some reason you have a problem with Aaron Bolo, which I'll never understand. But again, sounds like another great performance by Azul Angel. He seems like he's getting more over by the RCC crowds, the Bridgeview crowd. And again, I always want to. This is one thing I'm always interested in wrestling. After the match, I asked it with the Kyle O'Reilly, Scotty Mack match. El Fantasmo, Azul Angel, did they embrace in camaraderie and in sport? How did that go down?
They did embrace. These guys did, because it's Azul Angel and there's El Fantasmo. There's no immediate beef there. Granted, they're both fighting their hearts out for a spot in the Pat Cup for the Pat Cup championship. There was room for embrace here because, like I said, these guys aren't enemies. They're just going out there and wrestling a match. They obviously some great chemistry. I mean, the comedy in this match I really, really enjoyed. I thought it was fantastic. And El Fantasmo always manages to bring some of that to the ring while bringing some just great mat wrestling and bare bones wrestling too. So it was a great match, and I'd like to see those guys have another tilt. It was really good.
Yeah, well, professional wrestling, a lot of the time, you know, it's good versus evil, and that's what you like to see, and you like to see the good guy go out on top. But, you know, every now and then, it's great to see just two good guys or two bad guys just, you know, having a good, solid wrestling match and showing that respect after it. And I don't know, I think that's just as good as a big a heel turn or a big face turn or a giant pop at the end of a match.
For all the light or junior heavyweight action, I should say, that the Pat Cup brought to the table, we took a break from that, and we had a clash of titans. We had some big boys going at it. Kenny Lush and Bishop, two big match players. Once again, this one could easily be main event material. The energy of Lush, then you have the presence and just the killer instinct and overall meanness of Bishop, who we love on this show and we talk about him all the time.
Backed always by the natural selection. Can't forget those boys.
Yep, definitely the Natch was there with him. This one, they went right at it, these guys. Like, they went head-to-head, full tilt, almost like two stupid brothers that put pots on their heads and just bend down and ram into each other. That's what it seemed like. They went shot for shot, chop for chop, punch for punch, kick for kick. It was insane. It was just a pure display of testosterone. In the end, Lush ends up getting the victory with a top rope fireman slam and just a crazy bout of... And normally, Shane, you know me, I'm not a huge fan of two big guys just kind of slobber knocking it out, but this one had a lot of energy, and these two guys put on a good match.
Yeah, Kenny Lush, he's always shot out of a cannon. I guess that's why they call him the loose cannon. And anytime you have the natural around the ring, he adds just that little bit of attitude that maybe sometimes Bishop in the ring, sometimes he lacks.
So that was the match between the two big men, and like I said, not normally a fan of the two big boys button heads, but this one was good. I didn't mind it. It was a good break of action from kind of some high-flying, whippy stuff, but we got right back into the Pat Cup right after that. 2010 winner, Artemis Spencer and Kyle O'Reilly, the 2007 winner. This is a rematch of last year's final, which Artie obviously took. He won that one with the Artie driver. Same result, different finish. Artie hits the artichoke this year and makes O'Reilly tap, which I know, Shane, you're very old school in your values and putting people over and that kind of stuff. Big of O'Reilly to put over Artie. And not only that, but he taps to the artichoke, which gives that move some more notoriety in the ECCW.
Well, I think it was the last episode of Turnbuckle Time we were talking about how ECCW has been rolling out Artemis' new move, the artichoke. And I think he finished two matches back-to-back with it. He beat the Divine Prophet with it. And who did he face at the last event? I'm sure he finished him off with the artichoke as well.
Ice.
It was Ice, that's right. So I thought, I knew that this move was going to be featured somewhere in the Pack Cup. They were going to put this over even more, and they put it over on the big man, Kyle O'Reilly. And I think it's a great direction for Artie. He can beat you. In his first match, he beats the guy with the spinal tap, and then the second match, he beats him with the artichoke. So he can beat you on the top rope, he can beat you on the mat. It just kind of be like, wow, this guy can beat you anywhere, he can beat anybody, and how are you supposed to defend against this guy? And I think that's a great dynamic, especially to have in a tournament setting, where if it's a big guy, well, I can take him to the mat. If it's a small guy, you know what I mean?
Artie's very well-rounded. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, all well-rounded.
And the fact that O'Reilly put him over, the big ROH dude, he puts him over with his finisher clean in the middle of the ring, fantastic. These guys, of course, embraced two athletes who are truly athletic, and they show it in the ring. These guys are just juggernauts, for lack of a better word. We move on, the other semifinal. So Artie's going. He's one match away from being the two-time ECCW champion for the first time ever in the company, and back-to-back years, no less. He's about to be Mr. Pat Cup in one match if he can get it done. Billy Suede, the 2008 winner, taking on El Fantasmo, the 2009 winner. Last year, Suede was eliminated by O'Reilly in the semifinals, and LP was eliminated by Artie in the semifinals. So both men...
Maybe a chance for El Fantasmo to get some revenge on Artemis if he wins this match against Billy Suede.
This one, a wicked match. But Suede seemed to drop whatever heel heat he had for this match. I don't know if his family or whatever, like you said, showed up at halftime or something. But there's a lot more Suede fans pulling for him against El Fantasmo. And the crowd was split right up the middle. And you don't usually see that with El Fantasmo. He's usually a resounding favorite with the fans.
Yeah, well, I think going back, looking at the first match with Nicole Matthews, nobody likes to see a guy beating up a girl, you know, even if she's, you know, Nicole Matthews, an athletic girl, a tough-as-nails chick. It's still something socially unacceptable about a guy in there wrestling a woman. So I think maybe Billy got the short end of the stick with the crowd when it came to that. Fans maybe weren't feeling so comfortable with a guy going in there against Nicole Matthews. Maybe it was the horrible promo. I don't know, but, you know, when it's... Mono e mono, I think they say. You know, I think it's a little easier for the fans to get behind Suede in that circumstance.
This match was fantastic, like I said. Both managed to land their finishers for false finishes. They both kick out. In the end, LP lands a long-distance frog splash for the win, and it's going to be a rematch of last year's Pat Cup. Though a good match last year, did you find these results a little bit predictable, Shane?
I think, looking at the results now, I think this is pretty much the way I would have called it from the very start. Definitely the first round, I would have picked all those four. I think I would have picked Artie over Kyle O'Reilly. I think it would be great to have Kyle O'Reilly in the finals, but I think the Pack Cup finals, ECCW wants one of their guys in there to get put over. And yeah, El Fantasma versus Billy Suede, you got to have your top guy in there. So I think pretty predictable so far.
And then a curveball. Right after that match is finished, Billy and El Fantasmo, they embrace, both a couple of faces, both very athletic. I'm sure they've teamed a million times before. They embrace, but not before the alternate. Not the alternate. It wasn't Rick. No, it wasn't. It was a masked man.
The Druid.
He was actually wearing El Fantasmo's old mask and a Billy Suede shirt. So maybe trying to throw the crowd off as to who he really is, maybe an insane Billy Suede fan who is a former El Fantasmo mark or something like that. But we know who it is. You can see the tattoos. You can see the boots. He's the former partner of El Fantasmo. Who else would have his mask? It was no doubt Rick, who was named the alternate before the event. He attacks El Fantasmo heinously with a chair. El Fantasmo, not able to compete. Rick escapes punishment by ECCW or the administration. Go figure.
Where's insane Bill Coltrane here? You know, this guy's been stepping his game up the last few months. I've been shitting on him a lot, but he's been stepping his game up, standing up to the administration. this is a chance for him to shine in the biggest event of the year, come out, say, I know it was you, Rick. You're out of here. Where was insane Bill Coltrane?
Not a peep, Shane. Not a peep. Nothing from nobody.
Cowardly. Just frickin' coward. I was going to swear, but I had to censor myself. Frickin' cowardly.
Well, no one there to bail out LP, and there's no denying it was Rick. You can see the bloody X-Man tattoo on his elbow. You could see all the tatties. He had the same boots as Rick, trying to
smell the Foster's beer on his breath.
You could smell the kangaroo placenta on his hands. Yes, it was it was very evident it was Rick. Anyways, as the alternate, he is now in the Pat Cup final, and is that not a shocker, Shane, or is that not a shocker?
Well, we didn't see this coming. Both me and you on the last pack up, me and Corey were saying, you know, what are they doing with Rick? He came out, had a great promo at the Saturday Sermon. Now he's just kind of wrestling, you know, this random guy here, this random guy here. They're not extending his storyline. He's just kind of floating around in no man's land. And I think both me and Corey were pretty disappointed that nothing was being done with Rick in ECCW. And then all of a sudden, bam, Rick is in the finals of the Pat Cup after not even qualifying for the tournament. So I guess we got our wish, and they're doing something with Rick in ECCW.
Something very drastic, too. How surprising. So we'll see how the main event turned out. But they took a break at the RCC intermission. The hot dogs were flowing, I'm sure. The sour candy bags, no doubt, in abundance. The Bollywood Lions, the tag champs, the crutch of the tag team division, as you and I have said a trillion gazillion times. They're taking on the champ, Tony Baroni, who's intertwined in a feud with the Natural Selection, and most namely Pete Powers. He's tagging up with his shoot out of Ring Friend, and in Ring Friend for that matter now, Jason Sullivan, and a very textbook match. There was really nothing too special about this one. A very standard Bollywood Lions heel match, subduing Baroni in the ring before Jason Sullivan gets in for the big burst of energy near the end. But right as Sully's about to hit the massive elbow drop, Baroni, not the legal man, distracting the ref by accident. Harv Sierra goes upside Sullivan's head with the belt. They get the 1-2-3. We saw them get put over clean by Brady Roberts and Kamikaze last event. Now they're back to their old ways, going over dirty, and they retain the tag team championships against Tony Baroni and Jason Sullivan. And like I said, a pretty standard textbook match. Nothing really spectacular, and a pretty predictable match.
I like the ending, though. I like the ending in this one. You got the Bollywood Lions, the ultimate heel team in ECCW right now. You have Tony Baroni, the big face champion, Jason Sullivan, one of the biggest, if not the biggest guy in ECCW. And you got to think, on paper, who should win this match? It should be the champ and the big man. The Bollywood Lions shouldn't have a chance, but, you know, they're sneakier, and they're craftier, and they're dirtier, and that's why you hate them, that's why you love to love them, and that's how they win matches. And I think it's a perfect ending to this match, having the belt shot.
Well, we're still waiting for that feud with the Bollywood Lions, though, aren't we, Shane? We've been asking for it for a while. I mean, ECCW is granting our bitching and moaning pretty good with Rick and some of the other stuff, but they need to work on the tag division now. Still waiting for a good feud for the Bollywood Lions. They're still kind of bouncing around in matches as well, and they deserve better than that. But
yeah, I think, though, we have to be patient. We want everything right now. We have so many favorites in ECCW. We have so many guys that we've watched over the last year and a half, and, you know, that gain our respect, and we want to see every guy in here doing something cool. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see the Bollywood Lions, you know, main event a card, hopefully, at the RCC or Bridgeview Hall.
In time, Shane, in time. You're right.
In time.
We're being a little impatient. We're being too much wrestling fans, I think. We need to go back to just being normal fans.
Yeah.
So we get to the Pat Cup final. And like I said, 2010 winner, Artie. He's up against it. He can win it for... be the first person in ECCW to win it twice, back-to-back years in a row, no less. He's taking on El Fantasmo's former partner, who we all know attacked El Fantasmo. Let's not make any beefs about it. Puts him out of the competition. It's Rick. And he's in there with Artie. Not a very long match, Shane. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Rick steals it with a schoolboy.
A schoolboy. After all Artie has been through, two hard-fought matches before that, artichokes and all, he gets beat with a schoolboy.
It was a shocker. You know what? It was a shocker, and drastic move from Rick, drastic move from the ECCW. Rick wasn't even in the tournament until the last half hour of the show.
And the reaction from the RCC crowd must have been one of kind of shock and really, is it over? You know, we watched all this and somehow Rick won. Is that the feeling you got from that RCC crowd?
I could almost compare it to any time somebody has cashed in Money in the Bank in WWE. You think you've seen the main event, the huge ladder match or something, then all of a sudden somebody else's music hits. They're cashing in Money in the Bank, stealing the championship. That's what almost this was like. It was a smoke bomb and it was out of nowhere. And to be quite honest with you, Shane, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it because it was Rick. He needs. I thought that heap total tons of heat on him. Just not only what he did to Phantasmo, but the fact that he went over Artie, who was touted to win it. Let's not pull any punches here. And it was a shocker. I don't think anyone saw that coming. And I thought it was a great move. And we talk about in wrestling suspending that disbelief. I thought it was great.
And the reason I also enjoy the move, I think it's fantastic. And the reason I like it is because before we were bitching and complaining, they have nothing for Rick to do. Where are they going with him? Now, having him come in, winning this Pac Cup out of nowhere, they could do a bunch of things with him. First of all, he screwed out LP. You know, you could set up maybe an LP-Rick feud. And then Artemis Spencer, obviously he has a bone to pick with Rick now. This guy fought in two matches. You know, Rick's been sitting in the back, eating potato chips, smoking God knows what, comes out for one match, 5 minutes, boom, he's fresh, he wins. So Artie can come out and say, come on, you know, me and you, fresh, one-on-one, I can take you anytime. So we can see a feud against LP and Rick, we can see Artemis against Rick, or maybe we could see Artemis and El Phantasmo team up, say, you know what, this guy screwed both of us, let's team up, and Rick, and maybe a partner of his choosing, Divine Prophet, maybe a tag team match. And you never know, and I think that's what's great about it. You don't know what's going to happen here, but the possibilities are almost endless.
It opened up a door to a lot of possibilities, Shane. You're totally right. And not only that, but I thought just this little turn that happened at the end of the event here, I don't want to say it saved the Pac Cup, but as the Pac Cup was going, it was pretty predictable. We had picked out a lot of those matches and the winners pretty good up until that point. And I'm not taking anything away from the matches themselves because these guys all had great matches together. But the results were becoming very predictable. And we could almost, at the very beginning, before we even knew the card drawn, we were predicting an El Phantasmo Artie rematch. And it's not like that would have been a bad thing because we thought they had a fantastic match last year. But just the shocker at the end, I thought, was just excellent.
But maybe having the predictability in the first two rounds of the Pac Cup led to the, you know, it made the shocking turn of Rick coming in, it made it that much more shocking and
definitely
unexpected. You thought, all right, this is just going to go by the numbers, bam, 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 and we're going to have, you know, a repeat Pac Cup champion. And maybe because of that, you know, it made it more exciting, and it just made it, I don't know, that much more impactful.
I definitely agree. So we just wrapped up the Pac Cup 2011, the 11th annual edition of the Pac Cup. We're doing a new thing here on Turnbuckle Time. We started it on our last episode. We're picking a top of the event, and we're picking a flop of the event, and we're also going to rate it. Now, I know this is going to be tough for you, Shane, because you've had to kind of just listen to what I've had to tell you. The DVD hopefully is in the mail. I know Canada Post is having some troubles right now, a little face-heel battle there going on. But for this event, Shane, what is your top?
My top, I'm probably going to steal what your top was, and I'm going to say Rick coming out of nowhere to win the Pac Cup, setting up, you know, numerous different storylines they can do for the future. So I'm going to go with Rick coming in. So you're going to have to pick something else because I knew that's what you were going to say.
All right. Well, you've put me on the spot here. I mean, I'm just looking at my notes here, and I'm looking at my positive notes compared to my not positive notes. And I had nothing bad to say about Azul Angel and El Phantasmo. And that was one that wasn't exactly touted to be like one of those crazy matches over the top. And probably just because we don't know a whole lot about Azul Angel, just because he makes the odd appearance here in ECCW every now and then, and not usually at these kind of events. But I thought for the caliber of the event, he didn't look out of place. He definitely looked part of the ECCW. If that sounds funny or not, I don't know. But I'll go with Azul Angel's surprising performance against El Phantasmo, and I thought those guys carried a great comedy match while still incorporating lots of good technical and high-flying wrestling. So I'll go with Azul Angel and El Phantasmo. Shane, what is your flop of the event?
Well, for flop, I'm gonna go off the board. I'm gonna say the lack of appearances by Sid Sylum, who has recently returned. Like to see, you know, him maybe get into something with the natural selection. Pat Cup, one of the biggest events of the year. I think it would be a good opportunity to get Sid Sylum out and over with the fans again, and maybe to new fans who haven't seen Sid Sylum before. You know, this would be a great time to showcase him. So not having him on the card or making an appearance, I think that's kind of a flop. And even though Scotty Mac was in the Pat Cup, you know, it seemed like he got kicked out early and we didn't see him again. I don't know, I like Scotty Mac. He's the main heel. I would have liked to see him get his nose dirty somewhere in the tournament other than just, you know, walking back with his tail between his legs. So my flop is just going to be not incorporating some of those guys a little more.
I'll go with my flop just because of this, just the bizarre. I don't know if it was the crowd, a different crowd in the arena that night or what the scoop was, but Billy Suede and Nicole Matthews just seemed so far out of left field for me. Billy turned heel on a dime. He's pulling people down by their hair and cutting mean promos, and the match didn't have enough. Like, those guys can wrestle a great match, and it just seemed like Nicole kind of got jobbed out, and it lasted 5 minutes, and it was a ha-ha fest, and it wasn't, like, those guys can put on a great match, and it was disappointing, because I thought that was going to be one of those hidden gems, and I really would have liked to see them use Nicole Matthews more in the Pac Cup. Like, who is saying Nicole Matthews can't make a run at it, even to the semis? She's more than capable in the ring, as most of the guys. She had great chemistry with Billy Suede in the ring for the 2 minutes that they did wrestle. I don't understand why they couldn't have heaped another 5 minutes on that match and actually made it a decent match instead of a comedic job out with Billy Heel playing this bizarre character who, I don't know if it was his bizarro brother or what, but that wasn't Billy Suede.
Yeah, but if you look at it this way, if Nicole Matthews wins that match, she's facing El Fantasmo in the second round. And in that, it's basically, you gotta give it to El Fantasmo. I don't think anybody's going to believe that Nicole Matthews is going to somehow upset El Fantasmo. At least with Billy Suede in that match, you know, you can go either way. So I can see why they got rid of Nicole Matthews in that first round. Well, I think it was right. I think you just have a schoolboy crush on Nicole Matthews.
No, that's not it.
You buy all the merchandise. You buy all of the pictures.
I have a T-shirt. Stalker, I have a T-shirt.
Facebook, Twitter. And I think you had a little bit of a problem. And I think that you're letting your emotions get the best of you.
Okay, I'm not saying she had to win the whole freaking Pat Cup. All I'm saying is that...
That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's what it sounds like to you. You're looking too much into it. What I'm saying is, it wouldn't have been out of left field to see Nicole get out of that first round. And I would have much rather seen that and found that more believable than Billy Suede cutting a promo, turning heel, and a comedic match. I would have rather seen that.
What about if Aaron Bolo was fighting?
I wouldn't be at the show. I wouldn't be at the show.
I love Aaron Bolo. He's the next big thing.
Anyways, we have to preview some other events now, Shane. Before we do that, though, rating out of 10. I know you're waiting for the DVD in the mail. Based on what you've heard and some of the decisions and just the way the card panned out, what are your things here? What do you think? Well, out of 10.
I really like what they did with Rick. Like I said, it makes it open for so many different possibilities. The return of Kyle O'Reilly, that's got to, you know, bump the score up a few points. So, you know, just going on what I heard from you and the storylines that have been played out here, I'm going to go an 8 out of 10 for the Pat Cup 2011.
I gave the exact same rating. You had some good matches, a couple of soft spots, but really overall a really great event. And the turn at the end with Rick is what made the event. Very good, very good. 8 out of 10 for me, too, on ECCW.
Overall 16 out of 20. I think that's a pretty darn good score.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Let's look ahead. End of the week here, Friday. Circle of Fear, June 24th, 2011, Surrey at the Bridgeview Hall. The Circle of Fear, a rematch between Moondog Manson and Ravenous Randy from what I described as a pretty poorly wrestled match back at the Bridgeview about a month ago. Pretty much consisted of two guys whacking each other shot for shot over the head with a Singapore cane. Let's hope they bring a little bit more to this match because it really killed the energy of the last event. And this one, barbed wire rope, Shane, we've never seen that before. Are you squeamish? Are you squeamish, Shane?
Nah. You know, I've seen enough Moondog Manson matches to know that he's going to bleed, and it's just par for the course now. You just expect Moondog Manson to be gushing within 4 or 5 minutes of the match. And you said the last time these guys fought, all they did was smash each other over the head with, kendo stick?
Yeah.
Singapore cane, I think
Same
is what
thing.
You called it.
Same thing.
Same thing? Well, this match, I think you can expect them to smash each other over the head with Singapore canes, steel chairs, stop signs, anything they can get their hands on. I think it's going to be more of the same is basically what I'm saying.
Here's one that I think will be really good. Really good. NWA Canadian Junior Heavyweight Champion Artemis Spencer puts the belt on the line in a three-way triple threat match against Alex Plexus and Azul Angel, who we just came off, who I just came off calling my top of the last event. Plexus, a great in-ring guy. He's finding his legs slowly here. And Artemis Spencer, we don't go a show without saying how good he is. I really think this could be a good junior heavyweight match.
Yeah, I think this is one of those matches you want to get front row seats for, because I think all these guys are going to be flying over the top rope. I'm going to predict there'll be at least three spots where all three of these guys go spilling into the front row at the Bridgeview Hall. And I don't think Plexus or Azul Angel are quite there yet where they could take the belt off Artemis Spencer. They could play some sort of angle where Artie gets jumped by Rick or he's fatigued from the Pack Cup and that leads to him losing the strap. I really don't see that happening, so I think Artie's going to hold on to this one. But like you said, with these three guys, I think it'll be a great match.
One word we've been looking forward to, and one that you mentioned in your flop for the Pack Cup review that should have been touched on a little bit more during the Pack Cup to maybe give it some more publicity. The return of Sid Sylum, and he is taking on junior member of the Natural Selection, Stallion Smith. Now, do you think some hype at the Pack Cup would have done good for this?
I think it definitely would. Like I said, Pack Cup is one of the premier events of the year. Sid Sylum, you know, he used to be, you know, double champion. He's a big deal, and they should have hammered that home. Like, Sid's back, get ready. He's ready to tear some shit up, is I think what they should have laid down at the Pack Cup. And his return is against Stallion Smith, the Natural Selection. If you go on ECCW's website, they have a video there with the Natch leading the way, saying the Natural Selection is out for revenge on Sid Sylum. And I like where this is going, too. I think what they're going to do with this, Stallion Smith, he is, like you said, the junior member of the Natural Selection. Sid Sylum comes in, squashes Stallion Smith. Up next, Azeem the Dream takes him out. I think Sid Sylum's going to work his way up the Natural Selection, facing either against Bishop or Pete Powers in a big finale, kind of like a Randy Orton Nexus type thing. That's where I want to see it go.
Kind of running the gauntlet, so to speak.
Yes, running the gauntlet of the Natural Selection. Is there any doubt in your mind that he will not beat Stallion Smith?
You have the Selection around, too. We could see Sid try and run the gauntlet, but keep on getting stuttered and frustrated by the Selection. They have been known to do that. But for me, the return of Sid, you mentioned, he's a big deal. He's a double champion. A little bit underwhelming. Would you have not have liked to seen him on more of a main card spot as opposed to maybe a mid-card spot?
No. Like I said, I think it's a good match for him to come back. You know, he's going to get over. He's going to win this match. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to beat Stallion Smith. It sets up a good storyline against the Natural Selection. You don't need to rush this. This is something I think they can work over the next 4, 5, 6 maybe ECCW cards, working this program with Sylum and the Natural Selection. So I say take it slow, you know, baby steps. Stallion Smith, maybe go up to Azeem and run the gauntlet. I have no problem with it.
Well, I think that's definitely where it's headed. It's just a matter of, like you say, the timing and the patience. And I don't think Sid going over Stallion is so clean and cut. Like I said, Selection, always around the place, and I wouldn't be surprised if it turned into one of those angles where Sid just kept on repeatedly getting frustrated by the Selection and then maybe snapping or recruiting some friends to help the fight of his own. So we don't know. Like this Rick angle, this one's got a lot of possibilities as well, and one of the more favorite angles I'm looking at right now in the ECCW. The next match, this one doesn't say number one contendership match, but I think I can safely assume that the winner of this match will probably come out with a chip on her shoulder and hopefully some dap to face Nicole Matthews at one of the next events. Casey Spinelli, we haven't seen her in a while, probably since her tilt with where she tagged with Baroni against Powers and Vice. Vice, she will also be in this one. And Taya Valkyrie from Victoria. Is she from Victoria? No, she first started her ECCW journey in Victoria. And they'll be in the triple threat match. What are your thoughts on that one, Chano?
I think for this one, they're going to try to, I don't know if Taya Valkyrie, I hope I'm saying her name right, I don't know if she's going to win, but I think this is going to be a match where she has to establish herself as, you know, a legitimate contender in the Supergirls division, because we all know Tennille Taylor off to bigger and better things. So the Supergirls division, a little bit weaker, they need somebody to step up and fill that void. And I think Taya Valkyrie, if she has a good performance here, she could definitely fill that void.
Have you seen photos of this gal? She's pretty muscular.
I have not seen anything, but I am on my computer here, so I'll have to pull something up right now.
I suggest you do so. She rivals Veronica Vice in just overall just muscle tone for a gal. She looks pretty mean, like she could pop your head off with a headlock if she wanted to. But at the same time, being very, very good looking and stuff, you know, too. So definitely something to check out. And I think Taya Valkyrie, if she stays on the right path, and like you said, tries to establish herself against two other Supergirls, she could find herself as a mainstay in this division, which we think sorely needs it, because I don't think Nicole has defended her strap in a long time. So, the next match, Jason Sullivan and Bishop, another clash of titans again. We'll see how that one goes. It might be a little bit of a slower match. What are your thoughts on that one, Shane?
Well, I just hope that the ECCW ring holds up after this one. Those are two big boys in there. Every time I see those big guys in there bouncing off those ropes at ECCW, I always think that, something's going to happen. They're going to fall into the front row, and it's going to be a disaster, but That old ring seems to hold up through anything. So I don't know what to expect out of this one, really. Just it seems like Bishop's going up against a lot of these big guys lately, and I really don't know what to expect. Just a good match between these two guys.
And finally, one match, mid-card, Jaime Díaz taking on the Cremator. No real underlying storyline there. We've touched on the last couple of shows, lack of direction for Díaz. Do you think anything comes of this, Shane, or are we looking at just another match for Díaz?
I would think we're looking at just another match, but in ECCW, you never know what can happen. But maybe we could see the return of Chuck Awesome Sauce. At this point, we still haven't seen him. I don't know if he's gone forever, but I'm still holding out hope we'll see everybody's favorite. What is he, a batch? What is that thing they call him?
Butler, Shane.
A butler. I was going to say butler. Everybody's favorite bachelor, but no, that's something else. Everybody's
I think he's a bachelor,
butler.
Too, to be quite honest, though. The looks of him, he's probably a bachelor, too. It's a busy time in ECCW right now, especially over the summer here. We've got returns to Poco coming up. We've got, obviously, the usual Surrey and Vancouver shows. But the return to Abbotsford the day after Circle of Fear. So a pretty quick turnaround for the guys in ECCW. And let's go back a couple of months, Shane. I think it was in February where we took in the Abbotsford show. What were some of your fondest memories of going to check out that show in Abbey?
I got to say, I got to really give the crowd a lot of props. I think both me and Corey weren't really sure what to expect. I think we both kind of expected maybe a smaller crowd out in Abbotsford. You know, ECCW doesn't get out there a lot, so maybe a few fans who you don't really know who to cheer for, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. You know, maybe a little hesitant crowd, but you know, they were fired up from the very first match. I think it might have been they've had a few pops in them before the event started. I think that
mm-hmm.
probably helped.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think just the cadet hall there, the way it was set up, and the hot dog toaster thing they had at the concession, I thought was kind of cool. It just looks like a toaster that you would use for toast, but you put hot dogs in it. So that's one of my fondest memories of the first show.
Love them hot dogs. A rematch of the main event of the last Abbotsford card. Homeboy, local boy Danny Deeds, he flips roles. It's almost like Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation when they cross the border. Danny Deeds, big face in Abbotsford being the local boy. He's taking on Scotty Mack in a no disqualification match. The last match they had, it did end in a DQ, as I think Scotty Mack got himself counted out or something like that. No real underlying story here. I'm pretty sure this is just one of those matches for the Abbey card. What are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, well, I enjoyed the last time Scotty Mack fought Dastardly Danny Deeds in Abbotsford. He had the hometown crowd behind him. And it was like watching ECCW in an alternate dimension or something, because the fans were just going crazy for Danny Deeds. You think it was Hulk Hogan or, you know, Shawn Michaels in his prime in there fighting in the ring. So I just thought it was a great atmosphere to be a part of. And you know what? You knew Danny Deeds wasn't going to win. But at the same time, the crowd was so pumped up. Everybody was so into it. A part of you actually just started to believe and started, you know, you wanted Dastardly Danny Deeds to win. And it actually won you over, and you actually changed your mind halfway. So he's not going to win this match either, but I think it'll be the same sort of atmosphere, the same sort of feel for this matchup.
Well, I feel a little bit different about this one, Shane, because last time these two met, Scotty had the strap, and me and you both knew, okay, well, Danny Deeds is not going to win the strap. There's not a chance in hell this guy's going to win the ECCW title from Scotty Mack. We saw a disqualification. Danny Deeds gets the victory regardless. He gets his pop. This time, Scotty doesn't have a strap. I think they might be more inclined to put over Danny Deeds clean now that he doesn't have to wear the silverware and be the forefront of the company also. So I think Danny Deeds might win this one, dude.
I don't know. I think those absurd fans would tear that Cadet Hall apart if Danny Deeds wins that one. I don't know if they'll tear it apart. I don't know if they'll actually tear it apart, but I think it would be a giant pop, one of the biggest you'd hear in a ECCW.
Here's a good one. This is main event material in itself, and a rematch of TLC. Tony Baroni and Bishop, they're going to square off, and this is going to be a good one. I've always enjoyed when these two guys go together. They had a great program together there when at the RCC Hall and in the Bridgeview and at Season's Beatings when Bishop won and injured Baroni's ribs, and then Baroni finally gets his vengeance at TLC, and they're going to meet again now, and this will be a good tester for Baroni because he's coming up against Pete Powers pretty soon here, and Bishop in the same faction, relatively the same size. How do you see this one turning out, Shano?
Well, like I said with the first match, that watching ECCW in Abbotsford is almost like being in a different ECCW universe. I think you got to take all this stuff that happened and just act like it didn't happen when these two guys go at it. So I think they're going to go in at it with a fresh approach, all that bad blood, all that history. You know, it won't be mentioned. It will just be two guys in the ring putting on a good, clean wrestling match, and maybe we'll even see a handshake at the end of this one. I think Tony Baroni will probably go over clean over Bishop, get a big pop from the Abbotsford crowd, but all that TLC history, I think it's in the past, and it's just going to be a good one-on-one match.
The Bollywood Lions, they're in action, back-to-back.
What? Sorry, I was reading the card. I got excited. Continue.
The Bollywood Lions, they're in action. Gerv and Harv, both of them. They're taking on Jamie Diaz, and you guessed it, Chuck Awesome Sauce. He's been
That's why I got so excited. I was just reading, and it said it's Chuck Awesome Sauce while we were going over. I did not see that.
He's been MIA probably since the last Abbotsford show, for God's sakes, and now he's back. Now, this is a feud I could get on board with. You got the lovable faces, and you got the dastardly heels. This is a program I wouldn't mind seeing, and hopefully this is a sign of things to come. The Lions defending against Jamie Diaz and Chuck Awesome Sauce.
Yeah, and the last time we were in Abbotsford, the Bollywood Lions were huge heels. I don't know if they fought in a tag team, but
It was just Harv.
I do remember Harv Sira getting a few salty comments thrown his way from members of the Abbotsford crowd.
Yeah.
It was just good old-fashioned heat, though, right? Hopefully it'll just be more of that good, clean heat from the crowd. Chuck Awesome Sauce, you know, he was a legend out in Abbotsford. I think he must have, you know, a few followers, a few friends out there. And now I'm thinking, we haven't seen Chuck Awesome Sauce maybe since the last time in Abbotsford. I do remember him taking a swig of something out of a mysterious bottle in the front row.
That was good.
Maybe it was some sort of Kool-Aid, some sort of Abbotsford Kool-Aid. Got caught up in some sort of Abbey cult he's been around. Mm-hmm. And the Kool-Aid's just wearing off now. So, Chuck, don't drink the Kool-Aid this time.
No more Kool-Aid for Chuck. They're taking on the Bollywood Lions, and like I said, maybe because Awesome Sauce is a big over in Abbey and he's got his followers there, they may go over, but we'll see what happens. But like I said, wouldn't mind seeing this as a program, Jamie Diaz and Chuck Awesome Sauce taking on the Bollywood Lions in the future. Sid, he gets some more action the night after his official return as well. This one, nothing to do with the selection. Like you said, ECCW in Abbotsford is almost like an alternate universe where the same storylines don't exist and the same characters flip. It's Sid Sylum, and he's taking on the Divine Prophet, and I think this one has the possibility of being a great match because little-known fact about Sid Sylum, just because of his heel character, Sid can be a funny guy too, and he can pull the punches just as good as the Prophet, and I think we're looking forward to a good match with that one.
I just want to see Prophet's reaction to seeing Sid Sylum for the first time in a year. I want to hear what Prophet has to say. He's going to make some sort of allegations that Sylum was off doing something horrible, that he was sinning, and blah, blah, blah. And Prophet always has an interesting take on no matter what's going on in ECCW, no matter who's sitting around the ring at ECCW, he's got something to say about it. So I just want to hear his take on the return of Sid Sylum.
The Cremator, Creamy as we like to call him, he's taking on Junior, who also fought in Abbotsford last time. He teamed with Lumberjack Bubba, and they were unsuccessful against Azeem the Dream and Stallion Smith. These two met in a bunkhouse brawl in Surrey in the last summer. Actually, I didn't actually mind the match itself. The feature of the match was Junior hitting Cremator in the head with a skillet. They meet again here in a one-on-one match, a clash of titans. What are your thoughts, Shane?
Well, I like the bunkhouse brawl. I think if there's one match on this card that's going to get hardcore, that could get bloody, they could spill out into the fans at the Cadet Hall. It's going to be this one. I think we'll see some chairs. I think we'll see maybe some 2x4s. And I think, you know, if you're going out to Abbotsford, you got to have your regular, you got to have your, you know, your one-on-one matches, you got to have your tag team matches, and you got to have a hardcore match. So I think this one is going to fill the bill as a hardcore match, even though it's not advertised as one. I think we'll see this one get a little rough around the edges.
Rough around the edges. There it is. Natural Selection, and I can only assume this is Stallion Smith and Azeem the Dream again. I can only assume it just says Natural Selection on ECCW.com's event upcoming events page. They're taking on Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor, who we have seen in the past. They got their asses.
The Rodney Dangerfield team of Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor. No respect for these guys.
No respect. They got the shit kicked out of them.
I don't know if I've seen either of these guys ever win a match. They're always getting shit talked by Nicole Matthews or the Natural Selection. You know, these guys are getting no respect. And this is a good time for them to step up and maybe take a little bit of that respect.
I think we might see them steal one here. But hey, Shane, you know what? You don't talk bad about Ray Brooks. He's beat Kalos before, okay? He beat Kalos like twice.
In a dark match.
Hey, he beat Kalos bad. Kalos got his ass kicked. Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor.
Who the hell's Kalos?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Apollo Dean.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, I do.
Apollo Dean, a.k.a. the Druid. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, what happened with that Druid? Did we ever find out what was going on with that?
Maybe he'll accompany Danny Deez or Cremator out to some of their matches this weekend.
All right. Maybe that's another storyline they'll bring into Abbotsford. But again, alternate dimension, so I doubt we'll see the Druid.
But anyways, back to the match. I think Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor might steal one here. Azeem, he's a big bulbous head bastard. Doesn't usually look that good. Stallion Smith, probably the shining, he's the hidden gem in the selection there. But I think Brooks and Taylor may go over there. But
if they do get the win, they still get no respect, because then they come back to Surrey, they come back to Vancouver. Nobody knows they won. Nobody cares they won, and they keep getting shit on. So maybe at least it could be a stepping stone for them to get some respect back in Vancouver and Surrey.
We'll see. We'll see, Shane. And that's the two upcoming events. It's a pretty quick turnaround for the ECCW. Keep in mind, they just had a three-hour-long Pat Cup a week ago, so this is a pretty big deal. Let's get into our news and notes section of the program. Obviously, we always plug into this. Check ECCW out on Facebook. You can go to ECCW. You can go to ECCW.com for updates, event information. Check us out, turnbuckletime.podomatic.com. We're also on Twitter. I'm at CD Basso. Shane is at The Shartcast. We are at Turnbuckle Time, and of course at ECCW, and most of the wrestlers, if you're that much of a creep and a Twitter fiend that you like to snoop around, they all pretty much have Twitter accounts too, so look around for those. Some pretty funny tweets from some of them too, especially Ray Brooks. Good tweeter, that guy. I like his tweets.
And I want to put over too, if you are in the United States, because I know we have thousands of listeners down south of the border.
They love us down there, dude. We're
they
huge.
They love us for some reason.
That we're huge down there. It's crazy.
They go crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think I said the washrooms at Abbotsford were nice, and all the fans from the States were like, what's a washroom? So, you know, there's still that language barrier that we're trying to break through with our American audience. But I think we're getting close.
What do they call them down there? Water closets?
No, like it's a restroom.
A restroom? What the hell is that?
I don't know. We call it a washroom up here, but
because you wash,
they don't. They're like, "Well, you want to wash your? You were washing your balls at the restroom.
Well, you wash your hands.
What were you washing at the restroom?
You don't go into a bathroom to sleep. It's not a restroom.
Dropping a deuce, yeah. So we're right there, wrong.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Colors, right.
And colors with a U. Come on now.
Yeah, color. But
anyways,
is
we're not fighting with our American fans. We're trying to show them some love. And right now they can actually go on iTunes and watch the Stephen Gillis documentary, This Wrestling Life. You can buy it.
How cool is that?
On iTunes. And we can't get it in Canada for some reason.
That's pretty heavy duty.
Because I think Super Channel owns it.
That is. I think they own it for a while. I was talking to Stephen Gillis, and he said, I said, hey, you know, I'd kind of like a copy of that documentary for the archives. And he says, yeah, you're going to have to wait on that. So... another one I want to touch on, there's also some Supergirls DVDs out now, volumes 1, 2, and 3. You can get them online. Lots of classic Supergirl action with Nicole Matthews, Vice, Tennille Taylor, even some ECCW alumni like Awesome Kong. You know her, Karma.
The one that was crying in the ring a few Raws back. And what was her deal? Why was she crying anyway?
She was preggers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. was Vince Russo must have been in the house writing that one. Anyways, like I was saying, getting off track. Supergirl's DVDs, volumes 1, 2, and 3. Lots of great matches with all the current Supergirls, as well as some Supergirl alumni. So check those out on ECCW.com. And I think that pretty much wraps it up.
There's big news coming out of your camp, Corey. Corey is going to be... I don't know if he wants me sharing his personal plans.
That's
with
fine,
everybody,
it's
but
fine.
I'm going to anyways. Corey is heading down to Chicago for Money in the WWE's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. How jealous am I? It's going to be great.
A little graduation present for my parents and my lovely girlfriend. They're sending me down to Money in the Bank to check that out in Chicago. I'm going to be catching some Cubbies games down there. I'm gonna try and see if I can sneak into the backstage and mic up somebody. I'm going to try. I don't care if I get boosted out of there. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't give a shit.
Like I said, turnbuckle time is huge in the United States, especially in the Chicago area. You should be able to flash a media pass and be down there, get some interviews, talk to CM Punk. Like, come on.
I'm getting them laminated right now as we speak.
So, I think we expect a report from you when you come back from Chicago. We want to know what happened at Money in the Bank.
You'll know. I'll be the second-hand guy reporting it. But you'll get my take on it regardless. You'll get my take. I haven't been to a WWE/F pay-per-view since Rock Bottom, so over 10 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see how the whole live experience has changed for the WWE/F.
Well, I think it's in Chicago. Is it at the United Center?
No, it's actually in Rosemont, which is about 25 minutes outside of Chicago. It's right by the O'Hare Airport. It's in the Allstate Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's the former Rosemont Horizon, and then it changed to the Allstate. But that's where they had WrestleMania 13 and one of the WrestleMania 20-somethings. I think it was Cena versus Batista.
Mm.
So, it's a good wrestling venue, good traditional wrestling market. CM Punk, he's from Chicago.
From Chicago, and of course...
He's going to have the hometown crowd. Could be his last match in WWE for a long time, so I'm very, very jealous that you're going to Money in the Bank. And it might be actually my first WWE pay-per-view I'll order since probably WrestleMania 19.
Holy crap! Wow, so we're both kind of breaking the habits and getting back into our old ways. That'll wrap up our news and notes section for this edition of Turnbuckle Time. Shane, what are we playing out to?
Oh, my God. We're putting him on the spot here. This is something I did not think of. We had Rick. He won the Pack Cup. He used to come out to Sad But True by Metallica. Is he still coming out to that?
No, he's coming out to some new music, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know what it is.
Rick won the Pack Cup. I think this episode was a big coming out party for Rick.
All right, I'm down with that, Shane. I'll be there for the Circle of Fear. I will not be in Abbotsford, so I will be catching that one via DVD. So I'll let you know how both those events go, and hopefully we can meet up sometime next week, if not the week after, to recap before we get ready for the next event there, too. I believe it's in Poco, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, actually, next week I'm heading out on a houseboat vacation on the beautiful Shuswap Lake, so you might not be able to get a hold of me next week.
I'm pretty resourceful, Shane. I'll get a hold of you. Even if we
I'll do it live from the middle of the lake, turnbuckle time.
So, even if I do it via cannon string, we'll get her done, my friend.
And I might even be checking out Thrash Wrestling, too, which is a promotion out of Kelowna. They have an event this Sunday in Rutland. Might go out there and check it out. I have to be on the houseboat Monday, so it might be pressing for time. But if I do, I'll have a report on that as well.
Yeah, grab a six or a Colt 45 and get out there and see what the Thrash is all about in your former stomping grounds of Rutland. So let us know what that's about.
The place where I always tell Scotty Mack to go back and that he's a loser. So now I'm back there and I feel like a loser.
All right, Shane, thanks.
I eat my own words.
All right, Shane, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll talk to you shortly. We're wrapping it up. It's Shane Lochran and Corey Basso. It's Turnbuckle Time.